You are listening to Radio Statler, broadcasting live and direct from the Hotel Pennsylvania at the Hope No. 9 Conference. It is just about some minutes after 1 p.m., and you're listening to a very special episode of Off the Hook. That is our exclusive one-time-only theme song. Good evening. Good afternoon. The show is Off the Hook. Rob T. Firefly here with you on Radio Statler. I am joined in the studio by Mike.
Mike left.
By Mike.
I am not joined in the studio by Mike.
But if we were, he would say this
would
is
say
afternoon.
Hello.
It's kind of weird.
He would say hello. I am also joined by Red Hacked.
Hello.
And Junes.
Hello. Hello. I'm here.
And Jim is here.
Hello.
And we have Kyle is here.
Hi.
And Emmanuel Goldstein is here.
Yeah, what up?
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. We have a couple of very special guests. Mitch Altman is here.
Hello.
Bernie S. is here, not from Philadelphia.
No, but from the Hotel Pennsylvania, I'm here.
And our friend from WBAI, Michael Horowitz, is here.
Good afternoon.
And I think that's everyone.
Did you get Jim?
Yeah. Yes, right. Jim is still here.
All right.
So, this is a very special episode of Off the Hook, live and direct and uncensored from the Hotel Pennsylvania. Hope No. 9 is going on. So, Bernie, tell us how things are going so far.
I think it's going smashingly.
Smashingly. Things are getting smashed.
It's not just my... somebody smashed a segue into a wall last night, but that's okay.
Are they okay?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Is
I hope so.
Okay.
I'm not worried about
okay?
the wall.
The segue is fine.
But I'm getting a lot of feedback from. Actually, I was just talking with Marcia Hoffman from the EFF, and she was telling me her impressions of this conference, and she and her Electronic Frontier Foundation colleagues are just thrilled. There's about 9 of them here. Mm-hmm. And they're really thrilled at the diversity of the content of this conference. She said it's just not like anything she's seen at any other hacker conference ever, including Hope, that it's been this diverse material. What do you think, Mitch?
Yeah, it's been really great. Other Hopes, people have commented before the conference that they're really looking forward to a lot of the talks, but this time there have been so many people just saying how incredible the lineup is. And, excuse me, I always lose my voice from talking too much at conferences. But, and this time there's so many people just raving about the talks they've been seeing. And unfortunately, I haven't been able to see too many because I'm doing too much. But I've been having a great time teaching people to solder and helping organize and running around making things happen. And there's so many smiling people. And there's so many out queer people that are just happy to be part of a tribe where they're accepted. And my Geeks and Depression panel made a lot of people, they were thanking me for doing that because that made a lot of people feel really much better. And it's been a fantastic time so far, and I'm looking forward to the rest of today and also my panel coming up, which makes I have to leave shortly for DARPA funding for hackerspaces.
Excellent. How is that looking? How's that shaping up?
Oh, that looks really good. A lot of people have strong opinions and thoughts and feelings on this, and I think as we should. I think that's a good thing that people have thought about this, and I hope the panel we have will give a lot more food for thought on this topic, which is not going to go away, and which has no real easy right and wrong for most people. And, there are consequences to taking funding, so pluses and minuses, and people on the panel have differing opinions, and they're all looking forward to it, and a lot of people have told me they're looking forward to being in the audience for it. I hope we get some hard questions.
I think so, too. And from a behind-the-scenes standpoint, maybe you guys back there want to chime in on this, too, but from a behind-the-scenes standpoint, I think this conference is really running exceptionally smoothly. I mean, I've been around for a few of these on staff so far, and I think things are really going particularly well this time around.
Tickets have been going great.
That's what I've been in charge of. We've been. I don't think we've had any problems except with things that we didn't control, like the credit card machine. That's the only thing that we had problems with. But anything that was in our control was totally fine. And it's been a lot of fun. We've been totally harassing most people that came into the conference and asking them if they are terrorists and if they have, you know, anything in their bag we should know about, and asking them to surrender their liquids. And we've gotten some nice drinks from it.
The Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, the Department of Homeland Security has been ever vigilant towards all attendees in making sure that they come and are good people.
Yeah, and we definitely it's for your own security and protection. Right. And in that, towards that end, someone last night out of empty Club Mata cases built a metal detector that you have to pass through in order to get into the conference, and even scanners. And we're looking for someone to make it go beep, but for now people are just saying
it's
beep.
Hard to make cardboard go beep.
But we're a hacker conference. We can make it happen.
We can do this. We've got a day left. And
I'd just like to say that as a somewhat outsider here in the room, that it's amazing how well this conference runs, considering it's all volunteer. It's really, really amazing.
And WBAI being a lot of volunteer run, you speak from experience.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to hear in this room.
Sorry. I think, frankly, this is Bernie, yes. I think this actually conference runs way better because it's all volunteers.
Yeah.
If paid people were doing this, I don't think you could pull off anything like this, because there wouldn't be the passion that all these volunteers have to put something like this together and to make it happen. No, you couldn't pay somebody to feel that way.
Exactly. Everyone.
Can I just say
here.
That it's part of. I don't want to stand up, so I'm using the megaphone. long night last night. Don't even ask. I just want to say that the spirit here is simply incredible. Like Bernie was saying, volunteer spirit of people just wanting something to succeed, which, you know, by all accounts is impossible, and we do it every time.
Yeah, every last person here working behind the scenes is here not because of a paycheck, but because we love this. We love this event, and we want to be here, and that really makes all the difference. And Bernie was telling somebody earlier, describing the some of the graphic design that has gone into this conference, awesome. Much of which I'm responsible for. And he started to ask me what it would cost if I were charging for it. And,
yeah,
and I told him,
we couldn't possibly afford it. Yeah. This would be like many, many thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
tens of thousands. Probably.
Yeah,
you've been in like the past recent weeks, Rob, putting together some amazing graphics and signage for the website and all these. There's great Homeland Security signs all over the place, just satirizing the Homeland Security theater we have to endure outside of this place.
Yeah, and it was a great process too. I mean, it wasn't just me. We had a lot of contributions from Fred, our regular graphic design guy, and. Just the fact that we all threw in on this, and like the whole staff was throwing in ideas the whole, you know, along the way to just kicking things around and coming together to create something that's really cool and fun, and that people are seeming to enjoy, and that's really what it's all about here.
Yeah. Last night I did Arduino for Total Newbies workshop, and I only had room for 50 people, and there were about, I don't know, 30 other people that were disappointed they couldn't. Get in there, but everyone was so happy. I mean, you know, like just my little teeny corner where there's 50 happy people soldering for the first time in their life, and then making a TV be gone out of an Arduino, and hopefully that means there are 50 more people turning TVs off in the world, so there's even more happiness.
Yes, and on a personal note, I've been trying to get hold of one for ages, but I finally got the super high-powered TV be gone off of your table, and I think I've had one of each iteation before this, so thank you.
Does he get some sort of merit badge for that?
Are you now a TV be gone professional, Rob?
I think I'm a TV be gone
professional version. Awesome.
And
awesome.
Excellent. And Mitch just gave me a sticker, a TV be gone sticker. Thank you. It's official. And things have just really been going swimmingly. I've had the opportunity to see a great number of talks. One reason is because I've been emceeing for the first time, which ensures that I have to see a certain amount of talks. But they've been good ones. Even ones that I probably wouldn't have chosen to go to have turned out to be really interesting. And that's the thing about the mix of talks we get here. It's just the people presenting are brilliant, and the talks are just on a great amount of subjects. And it's really a learning experience no matter which way you look at it.
And always too, you know, it's you meet great people at these conferences. It's Definitely. It's all about the connections you make and the people you meet, and you know, whether it's during the talks or during or the people we meet at registration or after hours, just hanging out on the mezzanine, you know, and having a good time. You know, you always make great connections, so that's always a big part of coming to these conferences.
Rob, is that Charles Nelson Reilly on your T-shirt?
That is Charles Nelson Reilly on my T-shirt.
Uh-huh.
And you are the first one today to recognize it.
Wow.
So thank you for that.
Wasn't he in H.R. Puffin Stuff?
Was he in H.R. Puffin?
He was. Remember. He was one of the characters in H.R. Puffin Stuff.
Yes, he was.
He was the ghost in Mrs. Muir?
No.
My memories of him mostly come from Match Game and things like that, so...
Yeah.
Did you guys talk about the Lockpick Village is here?
No.
This year they brought handcuffs and straight jackets, and I think Junes can tell us about the straight jacket.
Well, that was fun. So, just kind of the backstory. I'm no longer the responsible registration person this year. I've passed that off to Red Hack, so I have more time to hang out and have fun at night instead of having to go to bed so I can get up really early in the morning.
I have the same amount of fun. I just work on less sleep.
Yes. So last night at about, 4 in the morning, I wandered over to the lockpick area and noticed the straitjacket guy was there. And I'm like, hey, let's see what this feels like. Got myself all straitjacketed up. And it's surprisingly comfortable. It's like giving yourself a hug.
And wasn't there saran wrap around that?
Well, that, yes.
That was a bonus just for him.
Frank at security was like, oh, come over here. So I walked over there, and that was my first mistake. And about a minute and a half later, I was completely wrapped in saran wrap and had things written on my body that I really wish weren't there.
And now they're all over the internet.
Yes, but yeah, that was fun, and I'm glad I was able to do that.
But now, and you were kept fresh all morning.
That's true, yes.
This is the sort of misadventure that happens around here. And you know, there's just... what else is going on? The lockpicking village is great. The hardware hacking area, there's so much stuff going on there. We have workshops on the 6th floor for the first time. They have the hotel has sort of executive conference rooms there, a bit smaller than the speaker rooms, but people have been able to sign up and run workshops. How have those been going?
There have been about 24 workshops this year. We really focused on trying to focus on generating more of them. A lot of them were, several of them were from speakers who submitted a really interesting talk proposal, which got approved. And then we asked them, hey, would you consider doing a workshop about how to build this thing that you talked about in your talk, or how to work with this software that you developed, like a hands-on thing? It's a natural progression. Like you hear someone give a talk or a lecture about it for an hour, and then you can sit down and do it with them. So I think that's a sort of a new direction we're trying to focus on.
Was this
the practicalities?
The HID thing?
That was one of them, yeah.
Yeah, that was the only one.
It was a keystroke injection device, a USB keystroke injection device.
The idea was you could plug it into a computer and have it quickly run a number of commands that you'd pre-programmed faster than you could type it. And do you know, whatever you want. So one of the demos, he set up, you know, if he had a console on a machine, he could, you know, get a backdoor in like 15 seconds.
Very serious vulnerability. How many of you have been at sitting across a desk from someone at some government agency or utility company or whatever, and you're looking at them across the desk and the back of their computer with all the USB ports staring you in the eye? And
actually, you could hide it inside a mouse or inside a keyboard, mm-hmm. and it would only do a one-shot deal, so you could have it, you know,
you
at some
it
time trigger once and then never again, so their computer wouldn't do anything wonky.
So anyway, Ronan did this talk and workshop, and... convinced him to do the workshop after he submitted his talk, and he got all the parts together, and which cost him about $70 per person because it used a microcontroller and a lot of other parts. And over 20 people showed up at the workshop and paid $100 to do it, and he didn't make any money on this. He donated all the proceeds to Hackers for Charity, one of the nonprofit charitable organizations that's here at Hope. We have several others too. We have ACLU here. We have the Electronic Frontier Foundation, maybe others. But it was really showing the hacker spirit, building something cool that you can do some neat experiments with and explore the vulnerabilities in yours and others' computers, and make some money for a charity that that's for a good cause.
Now, Mitch, we have a question on our IRC channel for Radio Statler, which is #radio-statler on irc.2600.net. Someone called Draft says, question for Mitch. A couple of months ago, I unplugged my Sony Trinitron TV from the socket and put it on the floor and turned it against to face the wall. What can I use it for now except for a place to put up my legs near the sofa?
You can use it for toxic waste. You can also use it as a doorstop. I've seen people do that. I laud you for unplugging it. That must not have been easy. If you're commenting on it, addictions don't fall easy. So I hope you're doing really cool things, or at least exploring the possibility of really cool things with the time you now have in your life.
I unplugged my Sony Trinitron about 4 or 5 years ago as well, and it hasn't been plugged in since. So I haven't watched TV in my apartment for years.
Yay.
And I don't miss it. I really don't. I have a little more time to do stuff that's really more important than staring at a cathode ray tube or now an LCD screen. It's just like, you know, I mean, there's some good content out there, but I mean, I don't miss it. I'd just rather work on stuff. If I was watching TV the past few months, I couldn't have done half the stuff I did for the Hope Conference. So
it's okay. I watch enough TV for all of you.
That's right. Jones manages to multitask and get it all in.
I don't know.
I keep my TV under the sink in my bathroom.
That's
it doesn't really do anything in there.
Yeah, well, above my sink in the bathroom, I have some plaques from Threeware, a company I started after it was taken over by VCs, that commemorate the patents they got in my name.
Excellent. So, on another subject, we've had some keynotes happen already. Who wants to talk about how that went? Because we had some interesting stuff going on.
Emmanuel, you want to talk about our keynote?
Now that you just shoved a bunch of food in your mouth, please talk about the keynote.
Yeah, he's chewing on a bagel.
Yeah, well, we had... No, I don't need that now. Thanks. Yeah, we had a couple of really, really good keynotes. First was William Binney from the NSA, formerly from the NSA, who I actually saw him at the Whitney Museum a couple of months ago, and I realized that at the moment that this guy was really awesome. He had turned into a whistleblower, talking about various things that the NSA was doing that affected our privacy, that affected things that hit close to home. And to stand up against such an agency really took a lot of guts. And that's the kind of person that we want, talking to the many attendees here, inspiring them to do the right thing when their turn comes sometime in the future. So it was really thrilling having him here on Friday. Saturday, we had the Yes Men, Andy and Mike. Andy was here in New York. Mike was in Scotland via Skype. And we had a bunch of other people participating in that as well. And, of course, if you've never seen the Yes Men, I strongly advise people to see their movies. The Yes Men, and I believe the Yes Men Changed the World is the other one. And these guys just go around impersonating corporations and government agencies and things like that. And... people believe them when they say these things,
even though they're saying the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Even if they're completely deadpanning in a giant inflatable penis suit.
Well, yeah, you know, you can do that, and if you're good, you can get away with it. And yeah, these guys have done amazing things. They've announced that the WTO is shutting down because it's the right thing to do. They've said that GE is giving billions of dollars into the economy that they got from a tax refund. They're saying that Dow Chemical, after taking over Union Carbide, is going to compensate the victims of the Bhopal disaster. And, of course, all of these things weren't true, but they got the conversation started, and the companies or organizations had to deny that they were actually going to do the right thing. And that just opens up a lot of eyes, and it's a really cool thing. So we had them giving a keynote on Saturday. But that's just two talks of over 100 talks that we had here. They're the keynotes. Yeah, they have a massive amount of people. We filled all the rooms. But there are so many other talks as well that are just fascinating and interesting on other levels. And I'm happy to say they're all being captured by Ted upstairs. And they're on DVD. And the audio will be up, I hope, this week. It depends how quickly we can encode it. And it's really, it's worked on all levels.
Yeah, it's really cool as far as the DVDs go. People who give a talk, they're handed a DVD almost immediately when their talk's over. That's so sweet.
They were still speaking, and the DVD was being handed to them. I don't know how he pulled that off. He's good. He really is.
I have to go get ready for my panel on DARPA funding. So,
Did we schedule you for today? Oh, okay.
Thanks for joining us, Mitch.
Well, maybe you should reschedule it for yesterday.
Yeah, we can reschedule.
Yeah, if you're at the conference and listening, go see Mitch's talk. That's my sticker.
We're missing Eben Moglen right now.
We're missing Eben. I agreed to come here and do this with you guys. I didn't know I would be missing Eben Moglen. Now I'm upset.
It's really tough.
Maybe Ted can hand you a DVD as well.
There you go.
No,
it's really tough. Yeah. I mean, you have over 100 panels and talks here, and there's just no way you can catch anything close to all the ones you want to.
Especially if you're volunteering like us.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, I think I might have seen.
Not if you're just volunteering, but if you're volunteering like us.
I've seen a portion of a handful of talks.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, we'll have to figure out some way to catch up on that content. But it's a. You know, I hear from third parties who've seen the talks how great they were and what they got from them, but it's...
Yeah, I think percentage-wise, we might actually have experienced the least amount of the conference of anyone here.
Yeah, I didn't see any talks at all.
Mm-hmm. As far as talks, yeah.
I saw the keynote for a little bit.
But no, there's great stuff going on, and it's just a thrill to be a part of it. And we have DVDs now to catch up.
Yes, I just want to say, I was at one of the talks last night, which was about hacking a cable modem. Mm-hmm. And while these guys were much more technical than I was, and about halfway through it got over my head, the introductory stuff about how brutally simple it was to figure out the password for Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. it was just shocking. It was absolutely shocking. I was fascinated. I'm so glad I went.
Yeah, that's what's great. A lot of this stuff is just an eye-opener, especially for people who hadn't considered it before.
I really like it when stuff's over your head because you don't understand it entirely, and sometimes you see it down the road, you know, a year or two later, and you're like, wow, you know, and you realize that some of these things turned you on to something you never thought you could understand or that at the time you didn't understand at all, but just by trying it on, I find that it's sort of like foreshadowing because it obviously interests you in one way or another, and like challenging yourself to wrap your head around some of that stuff is... I think it's a good exercise. So that's one of the things I really like doing when I do get a chance to see talks.
Yeah, I can't count how many times over the course of the years between conferences when something will suddenly pop up in the news or suddenly pop up somewhere else, and I'll remember having heard about it, you know, previously at the Hope conference, just because I think our speakers tend to be way ahead of the curve on these things, and it's a really good picture of what's coming up the next year or so, year or two.
Absolutely.
We also have Club Monte going on. How's that going?
Pretty well. We sold quite a bit of Club Monte. I've been helping a lot with selling Club Monte and doing other things with coordination. But I think we only have a little bit left. We've sold out all of the winter edition that we had this fall. Mm-hmm. I think we'll maybe get more for next fall, but. Yeah, we people have really enjoyed it. I can't tell you how many people have come up and been like, what is this? And, you know, turned on to it. Or people that come back and say they hate it, but they buy another bottle or something. It's ridiculous. But, you know, it's in good fun. And I don't know, we're happy to supply it.
It's yeah. It's definitely helping me operate on the minimal sleep that I've had. And it looks like Bernie could use a bottle.
IRC wants to know if there's any Club Monte left in New York State.
I think there is, and we've got it at two tables right now. So
yeah, we're selling it upstairs for the first time ever, and that's great because people up there, oftentimes, you know, they're seeing talks, they have a place that they're keeping, a seat or whatever, and they don't want to go all the way downstairs. The only reason they want to get up and go downstairs is because they want to get another soda or something. So now we thought, let's make it available up there so that people can kind of stay where they want to be, watching talks or just moving around to the three tracks up there and still be refreshed and not too exhausted.
Yeah, as far as exhaustion, there was something that our friend Gus had pointed me toward, which was, I think this comes from the anime conference scene. It's called the 5-2-1 rule, where for every day of a conference, you should try and get at least 5 hours of sleep, 2 square meals, and 1 shower. And the whole experience just ends up much happier for everyone involved, you and people around you. So I've been trying to spread that, trying to evangelize that a little bit around here.
Why couldn't you have told me that ahead of time?
I like that rule. I'm going to try it at some point.
I took showers. That part I got right.
Yeah, I took showers too.
Yeah,
and I got 5 hours of sleep.
I'm sitting close to you guys. I can vouch for that. You guys took showers.
Oh, we're told on IRC that it's actually the 3-2-1 rule. In which case, I did do that.
I think that might be a different rule. But yeah. So, how is the? I mean, things have been going up on the mezzanine. There's a ridiculous sort of variety to the vendors this time. I mean, there are a couple of lockpicking vendors set up, and one of them is actually selling plastic keys that you can't catch with a metal detector. I saw a particular talk on lockpicking last night by someone called Ray, who was talking about the benefits of these keys, and I think soon after that the lockpicking table sold out of that particular key.
Wow.
Which was fun. But yeah, there's some good stuff. No starch presses here. They've always got a great variety of books, including I finally got a copy of The Cult of Lego by a friend of the show, John Bechtel, who has been our guest once or twice. Yes, Michael.
Speaking as an outsider, one of the vendors here, which I was very glad I ran into, mm-hmm. is selling a case for a credit card. Mm-hmm. Because apparently some credit cards, and I just found out my wife has one, some credit cards are radioactive. I mean,
well,
they respond
to
a
different
radio.
Way of people, isn't it?
I know it's not the right word.
Near field communications. They're equipped with an RFID chip.
Right.
So you can just sort of wave the card in front of a sensor mm-hmm. instead of swiping it through a magnetic stripe reader.
And the card gives up all its secrets. It gives up your...
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't have to just... I mean, if it got waved or somebody waved something around your back pocket where you might have had it in your wallet, they could snag your info too. So,
do they not operate on a challenge response system?
Well, it depends on the system. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, if you're concerned about abuse of your RFID-enabled credit cards or IDs or whatever, this company, who was it? Differware was selling these Faraday-shielded wallets. Mm-hmm. You can slip your passport or credit cards or whatever into there, and it prevents it from being read from anyone other than who you want to pull it out for.
Yeah, in different ways.
So I was very glad I found them in the vendor area.
They've been here actually several years before, too.
Very well spent money.
Yeah, they're good people.
Yeah, they've helped us out back at WBI with our fundraisers and things in the past.
Yep.
So if anyone's curious, he showed me that if you look at the back of the credit card and you see those concentric circles that are like the universal symbol for radio waves,
mm-hmm. wow.
that means your credit card has this feature and you certainly want to put it in a sleeve that blocks it.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think there's, I think the EFF was down there. They had a vendor's mm-hmm. table as well.
Yeah.
The Free Software Foundation was there, or still there. They're all still here.
No Starch Press.
Yes, No Starch Press was here. They had a really good selection. They had a mm-hmm. lot of books and material that people could buy and check out. I think they're discounting things today, too. They had some good deals there, so...
Guy named Eric from Tool, the open organization of lockpickers, was there. Mm-hmm. He was offering, and still is offering, this really high-quality lockpick set with, like, I think eight pieces. Or no, a 10-piece set for $30, but yes. Which is his cost on them. And then the $10 profit is donated to Hackers for Charity. And
it's
it's
donated to the hackerspace of your choice.
I'm sorry, my mistake. I was confusing our promotional
the
stuff.
The lockpicking table is donating. If you buy their pick set for $30, $10 of that purchase goes to any hackerspace you want to.
So I chose mine. Yeah. I bought a set and I asked, well, give the $10 to the Hactory. So that was good. And he told me that he raised I think he said he sold over $1,000 of these things or something. Hundreds of dollars. I'm very tired, but it was an impressive amount of money that was going to hackerspaces to help fund their operations, because hackerspaces are, you know, they need money to pay the rent and their space and other expenses to just make hacking happen.
Did you talk about the special event station?
Radio station N9H. The FCC allocated assigned a call sign to a ham radio station we built on the 18th floor, mm-hmm. and over the weekend, data communications was established with countries all over the world, including Cuba and Argentina and Costa Rica, Germany, Russia, the Czech Republic, and others. And this is without any infrastructure. This is like a desk we set up on the 18th floor of the hotel. We'll put an antenna on the roof, and we are communicating data, kind of like text messaging, using a mode called PSK31 to communicate with just like just a few watts of power to these to people in other countries without any infrastructure. Like, nobody between you and them to shut off, or no ISP you have to pay to do this. It's just, and when all these other communications modes get shut down by a, you know, some regime or man-made or natural disaster, amateur radio still works. And we just finished wrapping up an amateur radio exam session on the sixth floor as one of our dozens of workshops. People came to take the FCC exam to get their amateur radio license. So we'll know later today how many of them passed. I would suspect that a lot of them did. Dozens of people showed up to take the exam. But it's like the closest thing to government-sanctioned hacking that we have is ham radio, because people have been hacking the radio spectrum for over a century and building and communicating and stuff.
Yeah, that's really cool. Some great stuff. There's Project Byzantium has a table out there, and they also did a workshop and talk about that. And what that is it's a live CD that just right off of the CD, you can boot up a system and immediately establish a peer-to-peer wireless network that you can just pop up anywhere in
mesh
lieu of
network.
Other... Yeah, mesh network in lieu of any sort of other communication. So if things get shut down, you set up a couple of boxes with this, and you are communicating. And they've been handing out CDs and you know doing some great stuff. I have someone called the Doctor who worked on that is an old friend of mine, and it's a really interesting project, especially if you're into that sort of thing.
I don't know. I was really impressed just with how smoothly things went together. I wanted to actually talk a little bit about coordination. You guys were talking about it earlier. Just getting all this stuff going and set up tables and, you know, all the just logistics of getting things in here went really well. We've got a lot of volunteers. I think we've had more people than ever at Hope. Do you know the final numbers, Redak?
Over 9,000.
Yeah, right. It was around 2,000.
Definitely over 2,000. I don't know the exact numbers. And people, we have speakers and such that fall out of our
totally
statistics. But
yeah.
But and people are still coming. Yeah, and people are still coming and getting tickets just for the last day. Yeah. I saw a couple when I was down there earlier, and
We're definitely getting better and better at this, it's really magic, like what people put into it. I think we were talking a little bit about, you know, how much you pay for posters or something to be made, and this stuff would cost way too much, and it wouldn't have the love and energy that people put into it. And we tried a lot of new things. We tried to, you know, not be wasteful and really use the resources and the time that people were putting into it.
This year we had the tickets could be brought in on your phone. Last time they had to be on paper. This time they could be on a phone. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have to print them up.
Yep.
They've gone potentially paperless.
We're getting better at it. Next time it'll probably be even more streamlined.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. That stuff's really crucial, because that, you know, gets people in, gets them checked in.
Yeah. And the volunteers have just been great. I mean, when I was putting up the signage in the beginning, I had a bunch of volunteers to do just really fiddly work, cutting things out of paper with scissors and tedious stuff. But they were willing to help me out with it, and it was just that kind of attitude is replicated all over this place, and just everyone here. And if you're interested, I should point out that at the end of the conference, after closing ceremonies, we start cleanup,
and we
always need people to help us out with cleanup. So if you're interested in volunteering, you know, find somebody with a staff shirt and just ask, what can I do at the end of that? Because that's how I got started volunteering at Hope. Just after my first Hope, I volunteered for cleanup at the end and have been working at it, you know, since. So it's definitely something that we appreciate and that we need, and you know, we'd love for you to help us out with that tonight.
The network went up faster than ever too. I heard that it's been really, really successful, really stable. That was a positive thing at the event. I don't know. I don't know what else. I can't. You know, there's just so much stuff. I'm really, really tired.
Yeah. There's a great effort right here at Radio Statler. Just the fact that this was able to be thrown together. We are in a broadcast booth that has been built. in an empty area, in a corner of this
foam board
mezzanine, you know, made out of foam board and duct tape and painter's tape and gaffer tape and love, and there is just you know, we've got some great equipment loaned to us to use here. I'm looking at a table full of awesome stuff, you know, all really professional, pro grade stuff.
Yeah.
And we've got really brilliant people running it for us. Yeah, I gotta shout to Bunny Byrne and Tech Darko, who have been instrumental in this happening at all. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's appreciated. And we've had radio going, I think, pretty much round the clock. When it's not talking, there's, you know, there's music, or they're streaming the keynotes. And it's been wonderful. I mean, if you're just listening, you've got to thank whoever, you've got to thank all the effort that that goes to making this happen behind the scenes.
Yeah, we had a really, really good crew with security and people doing registration, people checking people at the door. I don't think there were any, like, major incidents. We had a couple injuries and things like that, but I guess, you know, when I'm in the elevators or, you know, walking around, people are just really thrilled to be here. They're happy. They really enjoyed. They're enjoying it. A lot of people may be here for the first time, and it, not really knowing what to do. I met a volunteer who was, it was her first time, and just wanted to know what to do and how to get integrated. And I don't know. You check in with people again and again, and they seem to be really, really, really pleased with how things went. And are going. They're still ongoing. So that's what's exciting.
Emmanuel, you're the guy to ask. From your point of view, how are things going as compared to past hopes?
Well, can I just hold this mic like this? I just grabbed it. All right. It's going great. People just really... Well, we're getting better at this every time we do it. So people know how to organize things, how to throw things together, how to deal with crises. There's always unexpected things that happen. This message I'm getting right now. There's always fires to put out, some, not literally, of course, fires to put out in various parts of the hotel because there's things that pop up and you need to get somebody someplace quickly to deal with a situation, whether it's a equipment failure or something has to be restocked or somebody's lost and needs to get to the podium or various things like that. And also, of course, all the work, the many months of putting it all together, that takes a great amount of time. It takes a lot of communication back and forth. Every little detail about this conference, we've put together through discussion, through compromise, through figuring out what would be the most creative way, the most different way to do something. And I think the process is working. It's not an easy process. It takes time to get it all together. But I think in the end, once we're finally on site and building, we know what to do, and which every conference I've seen it work more smoothly. This time we have more attendees, we have I think a bigger staff, a lot more going on as far as projects and coordination. We're using four floors of the hotel, basically. We're using the first floor for registration, the second floor for all the projects, hacker space, lock picking.
Lounges,
vendors, all kinds of things there. We have projects and workshops on the sixth floor, and of course we have the 18th floor speaking rooms that takes up the entire floor there. So throughout all that, that's a lot of coordination. There's a lot of people all over the hotel, and the hotel loves us too because the people here, they treat the building with respect. We're so happy that it's standing, for one thing. You know, we've been instrumental in saving this building from being destroyed. And I think, you know, we might have even won that battle because right now the plan is to renovate it and not destroy it, which means that we'll be back in 2 years and probably bigger, probably better, probably more coordination, more people involved. And, you know, we're always open to having more people join us.
I know it might be a bit taboo to speak of the mysterious future, but 2 years from now, it will be which hope?
Well, it's going to be our 10th hope. We haven't named it yet. We have not named it. But it's going to be the 10th one, and it'll also be the 20th anniversary. So that's something to think about. That's in 2014, and yeah, we only do it every 2 years, and there's a reason for that. A lot of people say, "Why don't you do it every year?" We did it every year. It would get to be like a job. It would get to be something that, okay, it's, you know, it's March, where you got to start thinking about the conference. It'll just be the conference, we'll start sticking numbers at the end of it, and it'll just be like, you know, Hope 11, Hope 12, kind of boring like that. One thing I love about this conference, every time we do it, it's different. Every conference has a different theme, a different look, a whole different dynamic. And we're not going to run out of ideas anytime soon because we're a bunch of creative people, and we keep meeting more creative people that keep coming up with really cool things. This time it was the passport idea. That was really awesome. I think it came through very, very nicely. We've done cards, RFID stuff in the past. We've done all kinds. We've done everything. We've even done armbands. So every conference is going to be a different look, a different theme, and it takes time to put that together. And plus, we like to do other things on the odd-numbered years.
And also, it's worth noting that the work on these conferences pretty much spans the 2 years in between them. Like, soon after conference ends, we're already kind of kicking around ideas, going, okay, what worked well, what didn't, what, you know, who's got ideas for next time, and... You know, it's kind of a slow process, and it really builds up to the frenzy of activity in the year or so previous to it, but before an event. But like, it's just ongoing, and I think if we did this every year, we might be dead.
Yeah, that love wouldn't be there.
I got to put out a fire now. Mezzanine is running out of Club Monte, so I have to deal with that. So I'm gonna say goodbye for
you
now.
Need help with that?
Yeah. I think I'll be all right. Okay. You finish off here, and the show ends in 12 minutes. Okay. Radio Statler's done an awesome job. They run like clockwork too. In fact, there's a clock here. It'd be nice if we had one of those upstairs.
Thank you, Emmanuel.
It's true though about the planning beforehand, and I feel like a lot of the things that that we were working on. I mean, anything that was a problem or a challenge at the event was something that was occurring. It wasn't something that we couldn't plan for. I think everything, we anticipated a lot of stuff, so we were sort of ready, and anything that happened was unexpected and something that was occurring right in that moment. And another thing I want to say is it's just really cool to hang out with the people that you're coordinating the event with, like, a year prior, because you can actually just see them shine, you know, do, like, their amazing thing, and then just hang out and, like, be related and friendly and just enjoy the experience together. And, of course, you know, you're providing this awesome experience for a lot of attendees and people that are maybe experiencing it for the first time or just getting turned on to, like, hacking and computers and telephones and stuff.
Yeah, and I've definitely got my con friends that, you know, on staff and attendees that, you know, I'll keep in touch with them online over the 2 years in between, but this is really the only time I see them in person.
Yes.
Because they're from out of town or whatever. And it's just great being able to reconnect with people like that and chat and hang out in real life and, you know, have lunch with or whatever, people that you don't normally get to see. And really that kind of community building, I think, is what this whole thing is at its heart really all about.
Yeah, people really appreciate one another. Mm-hmm. And especially on the volunteer side and staff and coordination, you know, we're there for each other. And, you know, people ask, are you okay? You know, you need help. I think anybody who was tired or somebody who needed some hydration, anybody who needed something, there was a lot of people around that were empathetic enough to, like, feel that and make sure that they're okay. I don't know. It's a really good experience. I don't want to...
Yeah, here's an interesting question from the IRC. Sure. Someone named, I think, King Wen, I think I'm pronouncing that wrong, but asks, how diverse is the Hope demographic? And, of course, I don't think we have hard numbers on any of that, but just having looked around, I mean, we've got everyone here. They're, you know, all genders, all gender identities. You know, we've got parents, kids, all ages.
Yes.
It's just so incredibly, insanely diverse.
Yeah.
And we've got our stamp.
I'm getting stamped.
Excellent. a system we have the conference badge is basically a passport, which if you're watching on the webcam, you can see ours right now. And you can get these stamped by various entities, or you could get stickers put in as well by various entities around the conference. And you know, it's maybe stopping by a certain vendor table or doing a certain thing or achieving, you know, unlocking a certain achievement. And so right now we're getting the Radio Statler one for having been here and done this. So, that is brilliant. And you know, this is your conference passport. You know, get some stamps and that trace your path through this whole thing. And you've got a totally unique keepsake that, you know, is not exactly like anyone else's here.
And it goes along. I mean, the theme of, like, travel and the security and the silly stuff that's been going on, you know, with fear and you know, xenophobia and stuff worldwide and especially in the U.S. But I mean, we really want to emphasize that, but the travel alone, I mean, mm-hmm. just getting out there and experiencing things, whether it's coming to New York or going around and visiting other places, that's kind of really what we wanted to have as a theme, so that mm-hmm. you know, people try things that are new and come places that they hadn't been before and mix it up, meet new people, that kind of things.
Yeah, and I really love this passport stamp, which I got from our friend Johannes at Monochrome.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's the passport stamp from his fictional country, Soviet Unterzegersdorf.
And, nice.
So he offers to stamp your real passport if you have one, which is, I think, a crime, because it's not an actual official stamp. But if you get it in your Hope passport, it's perfectly legal and fine.
That's awesome. I'll have to see if I can get him to stamp mine.
Just on the diversity thing, this is Michael again, quick observation. From one of the late night talks last night, I actually saw a child who I would guess to be 10 years old.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Accompanied by an older woman who I would guess to be his mother.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure.
So, I mean, I was very surprised.
Yeah, we've got kids here. We've got, I've actually kids, went really? Past the lock picking area that and seen kids working on picking locks, and it's something like I haven't personally managed to really pick up the lock picking touch at all. It's like one of the few things around here that I really seem to have no touch for. But
I like just having the key.
But like, but I love the idea, and I really love the fact that I have been at the lock picking table failing miserably at something that like a 9-year-old girl next to me was doing with no problem, because that's a kid that's going to have an interesting life ahead of her.
Absolutely. I saw very, very old and very, very young people all enjoying the Segways too, which is really, really it's fun to cruise around. We had a really nice big Segway track too. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, I don't know. I think we have the most eclectic group of people.
Mm-hmm. We've got a great art presence here too. We've got like a whole corner of the area that's devoted to different artists showcasing their work. That's either related to our theme or not. That's all been finagled by Gus as well. And
yeah, she did an amazing job, especially with the concerts too.
There's some great and the concerts. Saturday really and Sunday awesome. Night we had full-fledged electronic music concerts going on at the bottom of the escalator.
Yep.
And she brought in artists from all over the place. There was one fellow from Sweden.
The registration desk got to enjoy all of those.
Yes. And this was actually like an additional event to the conference, where you could go down and get in with your badge, but there were also people coming straight in off the street just for that, without getting the Hope badge. So it's just there is always something going on here, and there is no limit to it. And we're always trying to things that you might necessarily not necessarily think would happen at something like this are. And we're now being threatened with a microphone.
Yes, the microphone is threatening us. There's a really loud
our
siren.
Yes.
I was walking around with it, and the switch like got caught, and then it went off like on the 18th floor in the middle of a bunch of talks. I was really, really mortified. don't do it, please.
So now that we've ruined all this expensive
equipment, you shouldn't tell a hacker holding a megaphone that there's something else it can do.
it's like the Star Trek sound.
Well, now I'll listen with my good ear to you guys. Right. We've only got a few minutes left, so any closing remarks or statements that any of you want to give about this whole sort of general mishmash?
Wow.
Wow.
Thanks for attending. Yeah,
yes,
wow.
Wow. Thank you.
Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, thank you for everyone and, not giving us a hard time at the registration. We appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah, and
sorry for giving you a hard time.
I don't know. Let us
we're
know.
Not sorry for giving you a hard time.
Let us know how it went. Yeah, like some feedback would be nice. We're always open to like hearing what people think. I was asking that.
You can acquire
people,
feedback
like,
form CX39 from the forms and feedback office, which is open Monday to Thursday, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Only during the months of August, September, and October.
Yes. If you have anything to declare, please declare it. You know.
Yes. And you can always get in touch with us OTH@2600.com. Let us know if you're here. Let us know what you thought. If you're not here, let us know what you think would get you here. And we would love to hear. Apparently, there's been some press going on about this conference.
There's
I haven't gotten a chance
press.
To see any of it yet.
Yeah, but I haven't been digging up anything. No, you're right. We've had more press than ever, I think. this mm-hmm. event. So who knows what they're saying? I hope it's pretty decent stuff. I'm sure it was.
Yeah,
so.
the one I heard a lot about was Russia Today.
Yeah, yeah. And either they're from really big press organizations or they're hackers that are really good at making press badges.
Yeah, exactly. I actually spoke with Russia Today for a little bit. Yeah. It was very weird to have a like full fledged camera crew around, and mm-hmm. but it's cool. You know, they're welcome. We want to evangelize. We want to like talk to people and share like what we're all about and mm-hmm. really open it up and it continue to expand and be interesting.
We do appreciate the coverage. Ultimately, one of the goals of events like this is to get what we have to say out there. There's still this sort of cultural image of the shady, quiet hackers and things going on behind the scenes, but no, we're not behind any scenes. We're in front of the damn scenes, and we would like people to hear what we have to say and see what we have to show and, you know, take on board what we have to contribute. So everyone behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, attending, reporting, blogging, any of this is all helpful toward that goal. So thank you to everyone for helping to make this happen, and let's do this again in a couple of years. And I think that's about all we've got. So thank you for listening. For Off the Hook, this is Rob T. Firefly. Catch us on terrestrial radio Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. New York time on WBAI 99.5 FM or streamed on WBAI.org.
Up next, the first computer show.
Nah. Thank you all for making this happen.
Thanks, Rob.
Have a good afternoon and good evening and good night.
Everybody get out there and fucking dance.